Hello, welcome back to the Inside Right podcast, episode 5. Today I'm joined by Lara Fuller, a friend of mine. Now, today's episode is all about the Matildas and the Women's World Cup. Obviously, that has just finished and Spain got the victory in the end over England. Not a surprise, England always seem to bottle it. But I thought you would be great to get on, Lara, because I was like, I want to do like a Matildas-y Women's World Cup episode. Who knows more about the Matildas than me? And it's you. So, and you're easy to get because we go to school together.
Yeah, no pressure.
I thought that would be pretty easy to do. My first question for you is, where did your love for football start and how were you introduced into the women's game?
Yeah, so I first started playing soccer when I was 6 years old. It's Seagulls, so club soccer. And my love for women's football was sort of introduced to me in a really young age, I guess. I think before I'd even started playing soccer, my mum was always, although she never sort of had the opportunity to play growing up, she was always a really big fan of watching football.
And passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when the Matildas sort of, when my mum sort of found out about the Matildas, she'd been an absolute big fan and she really sort of encouraged my sister and I to watch it.
Yep.
Not so much as just because football and, you know, we loved it, but also about the fact that women could, should be recognized, their talent and skill just above them being women, which sort of wasn't really happening at that point.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So your sister, correct me if I'm wrong, plays NPL 1?
Yeah.
For what club?
Bankstown Lions.
Now, how does that go? How does your mum like taking the train? Does she still, does your mum take her to training sessions or she would have?
Yeah.
That's
so,
tiring week.
I got my sister it is. The same. Yeah. So my sister's been playing in NPL 1 since about 14 years old and sort of switched around
like 5
clubs
years.
A little bit. Yeah. So she switched around clubs a little bit, but my mum has been such a big champ about it. She's always loved watching it anyways.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
Even when my sister got her license, my mum was driving her to every single training session. And, you know, and you know, obviously as she got older now, like this year's been a bit different where she has gone to every single training session, but man, she said that they're pouring rain, like thunder, and watches all the games. She just loves it.
Cool. So you've met some of the Matildas. Now, how old were you when you met them?
I think I was the...
Sam Kerr. Let's go with the biggest name here. Sam Kerr.
Okay. Yeah. I think I would have been maybe 13.
13. So that's 2019, right?
Yeah.
So I went to a Matildas game. First Matildas game I went to was in 2019. They were playing New Zealand at a half-empty Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah.
Right? 4 years later, they are selling out every single World Cup match at Acor with 75,000 people there.
Yeah.
That's obviously a very dramatic difference over 5 years.
100%.
And it's pretty incredible how in such a small period of time that can happen. I want your take on that. How has the, how, what's your thoughts on the women's game progressed so much in 5 years with that example?
I mean, I think that it's great. I think that that was one of the big things that watching, because I had the opportunity to go watch, you know, England versus Australia. And obviously, you know, it was disappointing for that winning streak to sort of be over and, you know, England taking the win, you know, well-deserved. I think they, you know, played a great game, played better. But I think that that disappointment was really just overshined by pride for the girls. I mean, I think that it's just, it's, I mean, it's incredible the amount of change you made and how well they've embraced it and sort of taken it on with the team.
Yeah.
But I think that it's become such a big Australian national identity thing to support the Matildas.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is fabulous because it's bringing in people
and it's your country, right?
Yeah, it's bringing in people who don't even watch football, don't even play it, you know, to come watch it.
Which is kind of annoying when you're a football fan when they're asking you what offside is.
Oh, 100%.
But, yeah, anyway. Now, that was my first memory of the Matildas and my sister's, of course. But what's your first memory of the Matildas?
Oh, I think my first memory of the Matildas was 2016. I think I was 10 years old. And my mum drove me out to all the way to Kogra. It was pouring rain and we were versing Vietnam. I think it was qualifications for...
Surely would have thrashed
World Cup. I think it was Ellie Carpenter's first game that she played for the Matildas.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
She would have been young. Wow.
Yeah. She was 15. And... it was pouring rain and we beat them 11-0. And I just remember, like, it was absolutely just pouring down. My mum drove my sister and I and some of the people who my sister had been playing with club soccer at that point, some of her friends, and we all just packed in there and we watched it. And there was like no people in the stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going from that, like you said before, to being in a stadium for the final game, like 75,000 people in that stadium was the most emotional thing ever for me to see how much it's grown when you've been there from almost the beginning.
Well, yes, the beginning of something, a spark of something amazing.
Absolutely, and you've watched that journey
100%. All right, well, let's talk about the Matildas' run in the World Cup. Thoughts on it? Just an overall analysis of how well you think they did, and did you expect more or did you expect less?
I think the girls definitely exceeded my expectations. I think they exceeded everyone's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when everyone had heard that Sam Kerr wasn't going to be playing in the first, I think at that point we only heard that she wasn't playing for the first two games.
Yes, that's right.
Everyone was a little bit nervous, but I think, I mean, the girls stepped up to the challenge beautifully. Mm. They exceeded my expectations, not so much in the way that they were playing, because I knew with Sam Kerr that there was always sort of a secret magician like pop it in there.
Superstar, right? Absolutely. So everyone, the whole game plans, give it to her
100%.
And she'll make magic.
So I think that I knew that they were going to do well, but when she wasn't able to play, I think what had exceeded my expectations was how well they stepped up and they
100%.
Rose to the challenge and a lot of pressure on their shoulders, right? That, you know, they have a lot to prove, you know, coming into that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Just the way they handled it, really stress-free, so focused on the game, blocking out outside noise.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
Well, I think it was the best thing for the Matildas, to be honest,
absolutely,
that the superstar was gone, because after that win against Ireland, they were like, hang on, we can do it without her.
Absolutely.
We can win games without her. And we did that perfectly up to the semifinal. 100%.
And it allowed so many other girls to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Really, absolutely. I mean, so many girls in that team had such a big opportunity to prove everything that they can do.
Yeah.
And I think it also demonstrated really well the way that the girls were able to sort of switch up their gameplay and rearrange that really, really close to the beginning of the tournament and how well that worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's not in there, so I'm sorry, but favorite game for the Matildas?
Favorite game for the Matildas. I think Canada.
Yes.
Just because I think, you know what, it was a lot of pressure riding on that game. I think, obviously, Olympic reigning champions after the game.
I thought they were going to win it, just putting it out there. I thought Canada were going to win the World
Cup. After the game against Nigeria as well, there was it was quite a big shock for the girls out of Nigeria. But the way that they were able to figure out, pinpoint what they had done wrong in the game.
Yeah.
And then a lot of teams say, oh, we know what we did wrong, we're going to change it and do better. They drastically improved.
Yeah.
They figured out what was going wrong with the back line.
So much pressure going on.
Absolutely. And they blocked out all the outside noise. They pinpointed the problems within the back line.
Yep.
And they pieced it all together. Really cohesive game. And I think it worked out really, really well because every player on that pitch knew what they were doing and they were all connected and communicating effectively, which is why it panned out and played really well.
Yeah. Well, I think performance-wise, that was the best game Canada, but emotionally, I think we can all agree it was France.
Yeah.
That penalty shootout was nuts. I've never seen anything like that at that top world level.
Oh, shed years off my life. I was so stressed watching that.
And what about, it's funny, in our household, it was like, oh my God, she can, I think it was Mackenzie Arnold, the first person to win it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could do it now. She missed. And then Claire Hunt. This got to be the moment. And then she missed. And it's like Courtney Vine's like, I can't get too emotionally involved now because
at this point I was like, I'm not believing anything. But
and then she scored.
when it was like into the last couple of minutes of extra time, my mom was driving us because we had to go straight to the England v Colombia game after. So we're in the car on the way to a family friend's house. And when we're in the car and I've got it on my phone the last couple of minutes of extra time, my mom told me that I had to turn it off because she was going to crash the car because she started getting so like excited about it. Every time someone had the ball, she goes, turn it off. I'm going to crash the car.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah. All right. Favorite player for the Matildas this tournament. Now, favorite's different to, like, I think, how do I give an example? Okay. So, Hayley Razzo stepped up, right? She scored three very important goals for us. But also, favourite player doesn't have to be her because she stepped up to
100%.
The thing. So who's your favourite player?
That's a really difficult choice. I think... I say I think a lot.
I think.
Caitlin Ford impressed me a lot because...
I've never been a big fan of her.
Yeah, well, her and Sam Kerr play together really, really well. Mm. They read each other's play well and they're putting the ball where each other... They know where to go.
Yeah.
And... But she was a real, like, rabbit out of the hat for the girls. And she became a big, you know, part of the team and a heart for the girls, a driving force of getting it up the midfield forward. But I think obviously later on in the tournament, when the other teams realised how much of a threat she was, she was really heavily marked.
Yeah, especially in that England game where they played a back five. So it cut out all really our wide options. So once that happened... You could have a bit of magic from Sam Kerr, but it couldn't cut it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think that she was just sprinkled a bit of magic and hope on that field in those first couple of games, especially, you know, game against Denmark where she put that cracking goal in.
Yeah.
Her touch was just beautiful. Yeah. So I think that was, you know, really wonderful. And she did step up to that challenge. But I do have to say, I think my favourite player of the tournament was Katrina Gurry.
There you go, Katrina Gurry.
Heart of the team. Heart of the
team,
absolutely.
She is the heart of the team, you know?
Yeah. You have to credit Sam Kerr as well, though. I think she realized she really proved that she's so much a versatile leader, and she supported the girls so much off the pitch. I don't think they would have had the confidence to do as well, even when she wasn't playing, if she hadn't have been so supportive. So I think she stepped up tremendously as a leader for the girls.
They say absence is more important than presence.
Yeah, 100%. She really recognized how to be a team player in that situation. So credit to her.
Yes, I agree. Now, you don't like Mary Fowler.
No.
Just saying it like that.
No,
headline.
It's not that I don't like Mary Fowler. No. I think Mary Fowler's great for her age. I think she's really, really impressive.
She's 20 now, right?
I think that when she gets the ball, she's good at reacting quickly and she has some creative game plays. But I think that she's being used, you know, wider as a marketing thing and reaching young audiences, which is true. The gloves and the hair. I mean, I wore the bubble braid to my soccer game final. Like, you know, she's great at reaching to a younger audience because, you know, she's young and she's fun and she's got all the socials and everything. So I honestly absolutely credit to her because of the way that she had stepped up. But I do think, similar to what you said, is that she's not consistent enough to be the star, like similar to Sam Kerr. But I think in a couple of years, 100%, she will get there. She will improve and she will become more consistent.
Well, next World Cup, she's 24.
Absolutely. She's got all the time there to improve and become better. But I do think that she's had some great moments and some great touches on the ball this World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's improvement, obviously, but I look forward to seeing how she's going to get better and improve and become a more consistent player.
So there we go. We don't hate Mary Fowler, but there's a bit of improvement to be done.
No, 100%, but I respect
her. Fair enough. All right. Well, we talked about the Matildas. I want to get your opinions on the Women's World Cup in Australia as a whole.
Just in Australia, Women's World Cup in Australia?
Well, I mean, like the Women's World Cup and that the fact that it's here, a home World Cup.
Oh, that's so exciting. I mean, I think that as well as the fact that we live in Sydney, so fortunate to be so close to a lot of the games there. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't get to have that opportunity to have a home cup on home soil and live close enough to go to so many games, just have it be a couple of minutes, like half an hour, whatever, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
That's great. And that's awesome. And I was so excited and so happy then so lucky that we got to have that and that we got to watch the impact that Matilda's had but see it live.
Yes.
Because like you were saying, watching the growth of them, 100%. We've got to live in that moment. We've got to go to watch the games and even the people who weren't inside the stadium and watching it from outside the stadium, seeing that live, it was beautiful. It brought all of Australia together, 100%. Having it on home soil. And I think that even if it hadn't have been on home soil, I don't think it would have had the impact that it did.
I agree. Yeah, I think so. Starting 11 time. All right. So this is a bit of a curveball. I only told you we'll do this last night. So starting 11 of the tournament, because I realized I hadn't done it yet. So I was like, well, I'll do it with you. Lovely. I don't know yours. However, you were asking me about the pronunciation of a few plays and I might be asking you about a few players of pronunciation, but first of all, what formation did you go with?
4-4-2.
4-4-2. All right, so I've gone with 4-2-3-1. because I like attacking options.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's what I've got. And obviously a goalkeeper. First of all, let's go goalkeeper. Goalkeeper of the tournament, Lara Fuller. Who is it?
Oh, that's difficult. I mean, I've got Mackenzie Arnold down just because she's got most clean sheets.
Yeah, and we're Australian.
100%, you know, no home country support. But, yeah, she has – I mean, there were other goalkeepers, Musevic.
Yep.
And Mary Earps who had – I mean, Mary Earps.
Well, she got the golden glove.
Yeah. Yep. Who had some standout games, absolutely. Yep. But Mackenzie Arnold had really consistent games 100%. And was consistently – Grammy and shoot the most clean sheets, obviously.
Yeah, four clean sheets. And, like, you know, when we had games where, like against Canada, against Denmark, there were still chances for the opposition. And Mackenzie Arnold mopped that up
instantly.
Brick wall. Mackenzie Arnold
Minister
pops up.
Minister of Defence.
Yeah, so very well done from the West Ham goalkeeper. And then what about the penalty shootout? So let's get this right. So she saved one. So she's like, all right, I'll take the next penalty.
Oh, misses my gosh.
It. However, then saves a few others, saves another one.
Yeah.
Has to retake it. Has to retake it
and saves it. Absolutely.
And then saves it again.
I mean, the mindset you have to have for that.
Yeah, 100%.
The mental strength that would take.
Because imagine that.
I could not do it. I was stressed enough just watching.
To win it for your nation, but having the guts
you
to
pull
keep
yourself
going,
together.
And you
win
it for them.
I mean, she said it. As soon as it happened, she just said, it's okay, let's go again.
Yeah,
we'll
let's
do it.
Keep
we'll
going again.
Never say die.
Never say die. Right back.
Right back?
If we've gone the same here, I'll be very... Actually, I'm not surprised. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But I'm just saying, I've got a lot of English and Spanish players on my team, of course, because they made it the furthest in the tournament. But I've gone Lucy Bronze.
I've gone Lucy Bronze as well.
You've gone Lucy Bronze too. Lucy I know Bronze. You like Lucy Bronze.
I do. I think that she has a great touch on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely great. The way that, you know, she touches it and moves immediately.
Yes, I got to say though, that goal that Spain scored the other day, that happened because she was out of position.
Yeah.
She ran, she was doing this attacking run into the centre of the park, lost the ball, so they went onto the right-hand side and scored the goal. But apart from that, three clean sheets, I rate her as a player, I think she's excellent.
Yeah.
Lucy Bronze is my right back and
she's
the same
right
for
back
you.
As well, yeah.
First centre back, who you got?
Millie Bright.
Fuck. Oh. Yeah, we got both got Millie Bright. There you go. Three clean sheets, one assist for the
great.
Three lines.
Great player.
Great centre back. Couldn't stop Sam Kerr, but, you know.
It's okay. Who
no
can?
One can stop Sam
Who can?
Kerr. Exactly. Okay. If we're right again, I might just give the podcast to you.
No, I don't think we'll be right for this one. I don't think we'll have the same one.
Okay, are they Spanish?
No.
Okay, go on.
I've got Wendy Renard.
Okay. Why? Why Wendy Renard? Great player, don't get me wrong. One of the best defenders in the world, but she did not make it past the quarterfinals.
No, she didn't. But in the earlier games, I think she's good at jockeying, and her passes are strong on the ball.
Yeah,
and there are a few and defenders
looks,
out there.
Not
aren't.
To be rude, but she's very intimidating.
She is quite intimidating.
What about when she took that penalty? Just
Shinigori stood up to her.
Yeah,
it was impressive seeing little Minnie against such a tall player.
6'3".
Yeah, well.
Wendy Renard.
I mean, why wouldn't you want her on a team as defender?
Great player. Great player. I'll go on with Irene Paredes, who's centre-back for Spain. She got three clean sheets. And like I said, when you win the World Cup, for me personally, if you win the World Cup, you make it a lot easier into my starting 11. So that's why she's there.
Makes sense.
Left back, who do you have? If you're going Ellie Carpenter, something's wrong. Oh, no, right back, I mean Steph Catley.
No, I've not gone Steph Catley.
Okay.
Steph Catley, I've gone Ashley Lawrence, Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Tell me why that, because they didn't make it past the group stage. Obviously, the way you've done your starting 11 is different to mine.
Yeah.
Because it's solely based on the individual's
performance.
Solely
based on individual's performance.
Where mine's
You're
depending on how well they've gone in the tournament.
I think, I mean, I'm not looking at it in terms of how well overall they've gone in a tournament because I think when you look at the team, you have to look at, I mean, like you said before, who's not in position, which is why they're conceding goals.
Yeah.
And I think that Ashley Lawrence, in the few games that Canada got to play.
Apart from Australia.
I think that she had a great game.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got, I can't say this first name, Olga.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like ogre, sorry to this person, but
Wesley.
Kimona.
Yeah.
Olga Camona. She's got the, first of all, World Cup winner, Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Scored the goal to win it for them in the World Cup. Great goal as well. 3 clean sheets and 2 goals. So you can't really argue with that, can't you?
Yeah.
Best left back of the tournament. Let's move on to the midfield. First midfield choice for you, Lara.
Lauren James.
Fair enough. Go on. Red card. Does that change anything in your mind? Because it was a terrible red card.
Oh, absolutely. Poor sportsmanship behaviour.
However, she has been glorious.
I know.
All tournament.
Such a great player. Wonderful impact player. You know, but it's really disappointing that that had happened because it discredited her as a player. Mm. And she was on the road to having such a successful tournament. It's such a disappointment that she had to miss out on 2 games and wasn't on the starting 11 for England during the last game.
Yeah.
I think they would have had a better opportunity to win if she had been.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is tough to say, considering that they lost.
Yeah, that earlier game in the tournament against China, she got 2 banger goals and one got disallowed for the most ludicrous reason ever.
Yeah.
Like, they said that one of the England players was in an, I think, offside position, but also blocking the keeper's vision where she was clearly not.
And anyway. She's got VAR. Great through balls.
Can't stand it.
You know, she plays Sam Kerr at Chelsea. They work really, really well together. So
she's physical, in the tackles. She can move lovely with the ball. Her feet
ball
are like
control.
Silk. Great.
How she, guards the ball with her body, moves her body with the ball. Oh, great.
Like
cracking shot.
Anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Katrina Gorry. Like no one else, sorry.
Hard at the midfield.
Katrina Gorry.
I love her.
Most tackles in the tournament, 59.
Yeah.
You got that down too?
Yeah.
Okay. How
most
much
most kilometres run as well.
Okay, you got most distance covered. Yep. 57.68 kilometres she covered. You know what they say, Lara?
What do they say?
70% of the world's water.
Water.
And the other 30% is covered by Katrina Gorry.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Absolutely.
Obviously came fourth in the World Cup and got one assist, but you can't deny that she's been an excellent box-to-box midfielder.
You know what? She always gives 100%.
Yes. Yeah.
Always. You know, regardless to, obviously, there was
5 foot?
Yeah, I think so.
Or less.
But, I mean, obviously, there had been some kind of, there was a few games where when her father-in-law, I think, had passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There
you go. Think she was also quite a little bit rattled on the field after that had happened. Mm. But regardless to what's going on, even if she doesn't have a good touch on the ball, her recovery time,
yeah,
great.
Unbelievable. Yep.
She always gives 100%. Always
so
driving
Katrina?
For the ball. I don't have Katrina, actually.
Oh, who do you have? How did you know those stats then?
Keep just, up to date on these things.
Just memory.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your second midfielder?
Second midfielder? Am I going in terms of like moving into midfield?
Yeah.
You're not going to like this. I don't think. I've got Katie McCabe for Ireland.
Yeah, we've done this. We've done this
reason.
Very
I have
differently.
An interesting, I
but
think,
fine. Okay. I'm here to listen. Go
great
on.
Great player. She's aggressive.
Okay.
And I love that.
Plays for Arsenal.
You need some aggression. Yeah. You need some, you know, oh, so does Caitlin Ford.
Yeah.
Need some aggression in the midfield. I reckon she's got it.
She's got it. Well, what
she's
about the goal
it.
She scored from the corner against Canada? That's
yeah.
That's not easy to do.
No.
So I'll give you credit for that.
Bent it like Beckham.
I've got Aitana
Bonmati.
Bonmati,
same.
World Cup winner, golden ball, play of the tournament, sensational in that midfield. 3
absolutely.
Goals, 2 assists, 5 goal contributions. You
I've
got the same?
Yep. I think,
easy.
I mean, the a big part of what had surprised me when watching England versus Spain was the team dynamic on the field.
Yep.
And you could quite clearly see how different their gameplay was. Spanish was just running circles around England.
Yep.
They're so fast. Their touch on the ball is quick.
It's
as soon as they get it,
pass.
They know where they're
touch
putting
pass.
It. Yep. Before Lucy Ball could even swing her leg back to strike a great through ball, they'd already taken the ball off her.
Yeah.
Yep. So fast, so quick, touching the ball, great. They played with such small, short passes, and then as soon as they were close to goal, then they'd play big.
Yeah.
Play long balls. Whereas England were just trying to play long, and Spain was just intercepting it. But
there
I think
go.
That Anita Bonmati was a
Bonmati.
And a big reason why that was as such.
So you've said all 3 of your midfields, right? I just know we've got different formations.
Well, I've got 4.
Oh, yeah, 4-4-2. Sorry. Well, I've kind of got like wingers as well.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, I've got
you
another
got
wing.
Wingers,
I'm
so,
got a wing. Caitlin Ford.
I've got Hayley Razzo.
got Caitlin Ford. I choose Caitlin Ford over Hayley Rizzo because they've both got speed. I mean, obviously, Caitlin Ford totally transitioned her position from, you know, defender to speed machine.
Yeah.
And so I think they're both fast, but Caitlin Ford has more technique than Hayley Rizzo.
Fair enough.
Better touch on the ball, outside foot, inside foot, shoot.
Fair enough.
It's like the ball is glued to her foot, the way that she keeps it so close to her.
Yeah,
so
and beats players every time.
One-on-one, fantastic. Almost as good as Courtney Vine one-on-one. But
almost.
Hayley Rizzo, I love her. She's got the speed, but I think Ford has better technique than her, and that's why I had her.
Yeah, well, off my logic, I've gone 3 goals, stepped up when Sam Kerr couldn't score them. Mm-hmm. So that's the only difference I got between putting Caitlin Ford there
yeah.
and Hayley Rizzo.
Good point.
All right, your other winger.
I only got four. Oh, well, I'm...
Did you say all four? You did. Yeah, sorry, my mistake. You're up to your strike force, right?
Strike force. I got two.
You got two. Why do I have three left to go? Oh, different formation.
Different formation.
And it's my turn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
My turn. I've got Linda Caicedo in an attack of midfield role.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10. I think she's a brilliant player. Just recently signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I highly rate her. She, I won't say carried that Colombian team, but she was clearly a big, big impact. She was a big impact player for them.
100%.
And that's why they went so well and were debatably a dark horse of the competition
yeah.
with 2 goals and 1 assist. And one of those goals, I just remember, forgot who it was against, but cut onto the right, then she did an inside right into the net.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look at that.
So that's who I got.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have as an attacker?
Strikers?
Yeah.
I've got Sam Kerr, Australian favourite. Well, I've got her as a striker.
Fair enough.
Think
that goal alone.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that goal of the tournament?
The driving force behind it. For me, it's the goal of the tournament because I mean, I think there were in some great, great shots. Kendry Cable in a corner especially. But emotionally, to my heart, I think that's my favourite goal of the tournament because the hope – that instilled in every Australian there watching that game, although it was short-lived,
yep.
was just a moment I will never forget. And so to Fair me, enough. It was so much of it was like a, can't get it done, do it yourself. She was, I mean, Ford was running up on the left ready to be like, cross it. She was like, nah, I'm going to do it myself.
My moment.
Strike it. And she, good thing she did.
Yeah, fantastic. I've gone with Salma Paralulo. Sorry with the pronunciation. It's been
names.
A long day. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
World Cup winner, under 21's World Cup winner, under 17's World Cup winner.
Well,
she's won three World Cups since she's 19 years old.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Young player of the tournament, 2 goals, won the quarterfinals, won the semifinals. If you ask me, that's clutch performance. And at that age, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's why I've got her in my team. Who's your last player?
My last? Oh, gosh, I'm definitely going to butcher this.
What nationality are they?
Sweden.
Go on.
Kazavari Aslani.
Well done. I think you've nailed that.
Yes.
Yep.
She dominated against us.
Mm.
Driving force.
Yep.
Great touch on the ball. Great 1v1.
Yep.
It touches on through balls. Great. Way she positions her body. Great. All around, great player. Powerful force. Impact player. She's the final to my starting 11.
Fair enough. Okay. You can read this one for me.
Oh, no.
Okay, Hinata. I think we all know who we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Hinata, top scorer of the tournament,
yeah.
5 goals. When she played for Japan in this tournament, she was phenomenal.
Outstanding,
So I've got her on my starting 11. I feel like I have to include best player, young player of the tournament and top goal scorer. That's just the way I think of things.
Yeah. But that's fair.
Scored goals for Japan. Good on her. 5 goals.
Yeah.
Can't argue.
Yeah.
All right, before we move into the last 2 games, this is the question I've got for you.
Okay.
And I think you've already prepared a response, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Where do you see women's football in the next 10 years? Because we've seen a dramatic change in the last 5. So where do we see it in 10 years' time?
So, as I mentioned before, I think that it's why this tournament was so impactful to Australians is because it became a really big thing for national identity.
Yeah.
I think the Matildas are going to run with that. I think that it's going to sort of influence all other women's teams to do the same. I think that the way that they're going to start marketing it is that you don't need to play football, you don't need to understand football, you don't need to watch football to love the Matildas or want to watch them play.
Yeah.
You just have to love your country. You have to love Australia. And if you want to get involved in the excitement, and they'll mark it with all the clips from the World Cup of people who know nothing about definitely soccer watching it.
Yeah.
And they'll say, you love Australia, national identity, the same way that they market Sharks, like football.
Mm.
I know some people who support the Sharks and have never played football in their life. You know, never watched a game, don't understand it at all, but support it because it's such an Australian thing to go and gamble on the results of the footy. Yeah. And I think that that's where they're going to start marketing and pushing into it, is that, you know, Australian national identity, it's, and that's country, why you support the Matildas. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a long way for women's football to come in terms of the sort of obvious pay gap. You can't really ignore it. $4.3 million to Spain, like $42 million to Argentina.
Yeah.
There's a big way to go. Broadcasters and sponsors sort of need to step up and put that money in. But FIFA's working on it. So
they are. And I think the main thing, if I had one word to describe women's football at the moment, it's progression. And we're seeing that, which I think is fantastic. And as long as there's still progression, we will get to a stage where it's great, great, excellent football, just as the men's 100%. Equally on pay, on quality, and we're getting there.
I so look forward to seeing women's football, as I mentioned in the very beginning, be recognised for their skill and their talent, above all being women.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, I look forward to seeing how it's going to be in 10 years.
There you go. Okay, it's game time. Don't know any of this, so good luck. So the first game I've got, it's like a warm-up for the last game. It's called Guess the Age, all right?
Oh, no.
I've got five players here.
I feel like I should just guess younger to be safe so I don't... Yeah. I'm not mean to
them. Yeah, Renard, 42. So five players. You can
get... I don't know who they are, and I just take a wild guess.
One over, one under. If you guess that, it's half a point.
Okay.
All right. So that's a bit of wiggle room. But okay. Marta Silva, Brazilian icon and icon of the women's game. How old is she? It's her final World Cup. She's been in six.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go... Stop. Give me that look. 35?
Is that your final
answer?
I'll
go with 35.
37. Ba-bow. If you said 36, I would have given you half a point, but you said 35. Ba-bow. Okay.
That was close. I'm pretty proud of that.
Well done. Ella Toon.
Ella Toon. Oh, she's young. God. I think she's 20.
23 years old.
She's older than I thought she was. I knew she was young. I didn't think she was older than that, though.
There you go. Hannah Wilkinson. Striker for New Zealand. What do we think?
Oh, I feel like...
Scored the opening goal for them against Norway. Hannah Wilkinson.
26.
I'm afraid you're way off there.
It's really?
31.
No.
Yep.
Oh, it's not way off. It's like five years
off in a game of Guess the Age.
She looks young.
Fair enough. I hope she's watching. Wendy Renard.
Oh, okay. Because I know that she's pretty old. Well, she's not, but she's not super old. But she's had experience, right?
She definitely has. Yep. French captain.
Oh, boy. If I get this wrong, it's going to be really humbling.
So how many you've got so far?
None. But I've been pretty close. The first one I got was really close.
Third one, Hannah Wilkinson's probably not your best friend right now.
No, what do you mean? I complimented her.
Fair enough. 5 years younger.
Compliment.
Wendy Renard. I'm going to need an answer.
32.
I'm going to give you half a point. It's 33.
Really?
Yep. Oh. There you go. Half a point out of four so far.
There we go.
Let's try and get 1.5 with Alexia Putellas.
Oh, my God. She's a great player.
Two-time Ballon d'Or winner, World Cup winner now.
She's ranked first for women's World Cup, isn't she? Like women's football players? I think she's ranked first.
Ballon d'Or.
I mean, whatever way you put it, it's always Sam Kerr, Lucy Bronze. Alexia.
Mm.
But then there's, I don't know, I'm just going to guess.
Okay.
She's experienced.
But not that experienced. Yeah. So is she older than Hannah Wilkinson or is she younger?
I reckon she's... See, the way that I think about it in my head, I think that she's a similar age to, like, Alex Morgan.
Alex Morgan's 34.
Yeah.
If you want a clue, she's younger than that.
But I don't think she's that much younger than that.
That much.
But right. I think that she's younger than Fonzie Renard. And if Fonzie Renard's 33, I'm going to go with 31.
She's 29.
No.
No. Yes, she is.
Damn, I should have gone with 30.
Well, that's your warm-up.
I'm half a point. I'm proud of that.
Half a point out of five.
I'm proud of that.
Age of players.
You know what? I did better than I thought I would, so.
All right. Well, now it is the quiz at the end.
I have no idea what this is going to be.
10 trivia questions on women's football. No. All right, so I'm not going to ask you any men's Liverpool team questions.
Thank you so
there'll
much.
Be none of that.
I've never watched a game of Liverpool. You should make that like a prerequisite to be on this podcast, is you have to have watched one Liverpool game.
One Liverpool game. That's like the thing to get in, is
yeah.
it?
Well, yeah. Well, I exceeded the expectations.
Fair enough. So. Question one. Don't take too long, please. I don't want to be here for another hour. What does who does Linda Caicedo play for? I mentioned this like what time is it? 5 minutes ago.
Like Brazil?
No. What?
What team?
Club?
What club? Oh, did she just go to Real Madrid?
Yes. Tick. That's what. Where's my pen? I'm gonna tick.
What team does she play for?
Colombia.
Oh, I was close. Brazil, Colombia. Both
just
like,
mentioned that before.
Both like Spanish teams.
Anyway, true or false? Liverpool are in the Women's Super League.
There is anything about Liverpool. Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
2-2. Two, two.
Yeah. Two.
There you go. There's another Liverpool question coming up.
Oh,
by the way.
This is a betrayal.
Why did I say that? Because that's the answer. what number does Ella Toon wear for Manchester United?
Ah. Now I'm just thinking about her age. I want to say 23, but it's not that.
I don't think it's 23, no.
No, it's not.
If you want a clue, this is either a clue or you just don't know me. What's my favourite number?
Oh, it's definitely like a Liverpool player's number.
Well, maybe it's not. I would just like the number.
Favourite number? I feel like it'd be the 13, but it definitely wouldn't
it's definitely
be.
Definitely not 13.
That's Taylor Swift's favourite number, so it could never be yours. Nah.
You should do your own Taylor Swift podcast, by the way.
Seven.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it's seven.
Oh, my goodness.
Favourite number and Ella Toon's number. What teams did Steph Catley score against in the Women's World Cup?
Score against?
Yep,
against
two.
Ireland in a penalty.
Yep.
And it wasn't it was another penalty, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And she did the same thing. She did top left corner.
And then did it again, missing
the
penalty
shootout.
And then
the did it again, missing
the
penalty shootout. Yep. And to be fair, they did put on a keeper who probably studies where they all take
fair enough.
Kicks. Which worked.
Yep.
Ireland and I don't want to say Denmark. I don't think it was Denmark.
Okay.
But
think of the scores and how many goals were scored in
that's what I'm thinking about. So, what was our score against Nigeria? It was 2-1, wasn't it?
3-2. 3-2. In the end? Yeah, because Alana Kennedy scored like.
But I don't think that there was a.
In the last minute.
We're going to talk about Alana Kennedy's goals because we count her own one.
Clock. I wish there was a clock ticking. I'm going to give you 2 minutes next time.
I'm just going to say. I feel like I definitely watched this. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to just go with... No. Because, okay, I'm going to go with Nigeria.
It was Canada.
Oh, my God. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I can't give you the points.
I just had that...
Realization.
Because I was thinking about when Fowler scored. And then I was thinking about the game of Canada. And then I thought about that. Anyways,
yeah,
so I'll answer the next one so fast.
How many wins did Germany get in the World Cup?
This World Cup?
No, the one in 1991.
Like one?
Yes.
Because I never got to wear their cool jersey, didn't they?
Oh, do you mean the away one, which
yeah.
is kind of blue but black?
Yeah.
I know that one. Yeah, they beat Morocco 6-0. That was their only win of the tournament, which is a shame.
It's a good win.
Yeah. Who is the Swedish first choice keeper?
Musevic.
Done.
She's not Chelsea's first choice keeper, though.
No. Second choice. Maybe not after this World Cup, though.
Oh,
she
yeah.
might be first. What club does Tegan Micah play for?
What if I throw like a throw it to the wind? Take a guess. It's not going to be Chelsea. You know how many I've just rediscovered how many great players play for Chelsea.
Mhm. I wish I could say the same in the men's comp.
Oh. I'm gonna go Arsenal.
Liverpool Football Club.
Okay.
I told you there would be a Liverpool one there.
I know nothing about Liverpool.
So you've got, what, so far you've got 4 out of 6. So far you're
proud.
Passing. You're passing.
Proud.
God. I don't think the mics could hear that, but there was a big beep. Who is the French woman's captain?
French woman's captain? Oh, that's Wendy Renard.
Done. Second last question. What position does Marta Cox play for Panama?
Panama.
Remember when she scored that free kick? Surely you watched that game. That was unbelievable, that free kick against France. Position. So,
centre attacking mid?
Centre attacking mid. So let me tell you what the answer's kind of specifying there. It's either goalkeeper, defence, midfield, attack. So
attack. Oh, midfield.
Midfield's correct. I'll stop you there before you change your mind again. Last question. And I think you know this.
Golden Glove. There he
is. I didn't even say it. And you got it correct. It was who won the Golden Glove in the World Cup. It was Mary Apps for England.
How many saves did you have?
How many saves? I don't count them.
Well, no, they count it because that's how they awarded it to her. Three. It was like 11 or something.
I don't remember how many saves she got.
It was 11. It was like 31.
She saved the penalty in the final. That's pretty good. So you got 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10.
Look at me go. Better than the last game.
Lara Fuller, that's full time. Full time. And that's the end of today's Inside Right episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay tuned for next episode where I'm joined by Dan Zeleny and Isaac Denzo, player, coach, best friends. Stay tuned for that episode. Thank you very much, Lara.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.